We go. First, it was the electricity, and now it's the water. In the middle of a heat wave, Johannesburg's reservoirs are taking strain, and at 38%, are well below ideal storage capacity. So Rand Water has instituted stage 2 water restrictions, and of course, as you would expect, many residents are fuming. But beyond just the inconvenience, water, as we know, is a matter of life and death. Spare a thought then for our public hospitals, Helen Joseph and the Rahima Musa Mother and Child Hospitals. They are already overburdened with additional loads from Charlotte Maklege, which hasn't been back to full strength since the fire. Gauteng Health says there is no water in the taps. The CEO of the Helen Joseph Hospital, Dr. Ribohile Ncha, joins us now on the line. Thank you so much for your time and good morning.
Good morning, Bongani.
I mean, between your hospital and, say, Rahima Musa, you've got about, what, 800 inpatients? How does a major facility like yours run without water with those numbers?
Yeah, so our capacity is about 635 beds. At the hospital, and those are just for inpatients. And we see thousands of outpatients also coming through on a daily basis to visiting our clinics. So it is really a bit of a challenge when we have these water interruptions, because they literally affect every functioning of the hospital. So it is really a bit of a challenge for us when we experience such.
Are doctors and other staff having to come with their own water containers to work, as has been reported?
Well, not necessarily. So what we've been doing since the interaction started, we've spoken with Joburg Water, where they provide tankers to the hospital on a daily basis to pump water into the system. So our structure is in the sense that when there are these water interruptions, there are certain areas that are affected initially. And as the water tankers are there to pump the water into the system throughout the day, then we get some sort of improvement in the water levels, and then the water becomes available. But I mean, really, if you look at the whole situation, yes, people will need to bring their own drinking water, for example, so that they can get rehydrated throughout the day. But what we've also done for our patients is that we've provided them with bottled water, so that then they can be able to drink, take their medication, and be rehydrated also throughout the day.
I understand the water tankers have been helpful, but apparently they don't get to the top floors, and more worryingly, the emergency department.
Yeah, so you know, our system, in terms of the reservoir and how our pipes are then structured, is that as the water comes in, water gets used immediately. So what we normally do is that when the tanks come and pump overnight, we're able to then build up our capacity overnight and then be able to then use and make water available in the morning. So the challenge becomes when we start the day and all the activities within the hospital continue, the water consumption then goes down quite quickly. But at the same time, the tankers would be there to then pump up the water into the system.
But it doesn't get to the emergency department?
It does. Well, if our systems are full, our tanks are full, they do get to the emergency department. So there could be some delay, of course, because the pumping takes a bit of time. And because of how our system is structured, yes, the top floors do get affected. The emergency department does get affected. But as I'm saying, as the tankers come through and they continuously pump, we do get some water there. So the challenge is mainly the pressure of the water. Because if we don't get adequate pressure, then yes, certain areas will be affected with the water limitation.
Have you had to forego certain emergency procedures because you didn't have enough pressure in the taps?
Yeah, so the impact of not having sufficient water is that there are certain facility items that are affected. For example, our boilers, which provide steam for us, our chillers, which provide cold air within our theaters. So we've had to limit certain services. For example, in our theaters, we'd really concentrate mainly on emergency cases and not necessarily, or push a little bit aside the elective cases, so that we can then be able to do those dire emergency cases. And then again, what we normally would do is that we'd request for a divert for a couple of hours so that we can then deal with the number of patients that we have there, limit the ones that are coming in, so that we can then be able to limit the flow of patients within the hospital.
I understand another complaint is that even though outside toilets have been brought in, they are outside and not really accessible for a lot of patients, some of whom would have to walk quite some distance from their wards to get to them.
Yeah, so the challenge is that, you know, our structure, our hospital is a high-rise building. And unfortunately, we're unable to get mobile toilets in the building. So we have put them outside, but they are mostly accessible closer to our emergency department, closer to our outpatient department. So unfortunately, yes, it is a bit of a discomfort for our patients to be moving from the wards down to the toilets, which are outside. But yes, that is the case.
So what, the toilets that you do have accessible to those patients are unsafe and obviously unpleasant?
Not necessarily, because remember, with our mobile toilets, we do have them coming and being serviced at all times.
No. What I mean is, Doctor, if a lot of your inpatients can't get to them, those who are not in that emergency area you've just referred to, they have to contend with unsafe and unclean toilets.
No, that I don't agree with. The challenge is that, look, with the waters, I'm saying, once the Joburg tanks are there and available and water gets through into the system, we do then get flushing toilets within our wards.
But those get used up quite quickly in the mornings, as you said earlier.
Yes. And our cleaners are there all the time to be able to clean those and make them those available and clean. So I wouldn't say that we're letting our patients use unclean toilets.
Sure, but when you say the water runs out quite quickly once the daily functioning of the hospital begins, by what time do you run out then?
No, we never run out. Remember what I said was that overnight, when they continue to pump, yes, our tanks get filled. And then during the day, Joburg Water still provides their tanker, so there's always inflow of water coming through. The challenge there, yes, might be a little bit of a pressure difference, but there is continuously water coming through because Joburg tankers have been made available to the hospital.
Okay.
So we build up capacity overnight, and in the morning the tanks are full, but because Joburg Water is there to continuously pump into our system, we never get to a point really where we run completely dry. Unless if there's some sort of delay with the tankers, then we can experience a little bit of delay in terms of water being available throughout the hospital.
All right. How do you explain that reports suggest multiple staff members, especially in the emergency department, have contracted gastroenteritis?
Look, the challenge is that if you don't have proper running water, it's obvious that certain infection control processes will be compromised. I think from what we've learned from COVID is that the best way to control infection is to wash your hands with water and soap. But what we have then resorted to is mainly using your sanitizers instead of using the traditional way of washing hands. So, I mean, in between that, and emergency departments are quite busy. And remember, according to the standards, yes, you need to be washing your hands in between every patient. But because of that particular situation where water is not adequately available, there is that chance of cross-infections that can happen. But we do have sanitizers that are there that are then get used between the patients and by the doctors.
How many staff have contracted gastro?
I'm not sure yet because I haven't seen the report myself, but then we'll have to check on that number.
The point is, if that's what's happening to staff, one can only imagine what the patients will go through.
Yes, I think this is also an opportunity for us to also strengthen our infection control when we have an infection control department at the hospital, where then they can go out and even talk to our patients, reiterating the message of infection control and how to better take care of our hand hygiene. So it is really an opportunity that we can use. But it's also something that we know that on a daily basis it can occur because we don't always think about it until something happens to you as an individual. So, but then, as I'm saying, it's an opportunity for us once again to strengthen our IPC controls within the hospital and engage our staff, engage our patients through health education that normally takes place in the mornings so that they can also understand that we are in this situation and these are the steps that you can then take to protect yourself.
Dr. Ncha, here's the difficulty I'm having. We have experienced water shortages before. Right now, we're in the middle of a heat wave. We've had droughts before. So the scenario where the reservoirs are running low or taking strain, or indeed because of load shedding, pumping stations aren't working optimally. We've been down this road before. Why does it appear then that when this kind of thing happens, it's almost as if we're caught unawares?
No, so we are not, because I think we've had such an incident before. And after that initial incident, we sat down with Joburg Water and we actually had an agreement to say the minute they see that there is a challenge, then they would make their tankers available to us. And I must say that this time around, Joburg Water has been very responsive and they've been coming through to do that. And on the hospital side, we've also been preparing ourselves because now we've had to go through a process of even procuring bottled water. If you remember, in the last time, we had lots of donations coming through to the hospitals of bottled water. And because we were aware of the fact that this can happen again, we've gone into the process of actually procuring bottled water so that during that time, then our patients can be sorted. The issue of mobile toilets, once we see that there is such a challenge, we already kick in that particular system of getting mobile toilets and also trying to look at, you know, clinically, the doctors would then be able to check which patients can be done, etc. So we are not necessarily caught unaware, but it's just that it's a process that is tiresome, because then you need to go back and revisit our plans, go back and revisit our mitigating plan so that we can then implement it. And again, we are continuously monitoring the situation so that we don't actually get ourselves caught unaware. Our facility managers and our plumbers are forever monitoring those tankers, and if there is even a slight difference, we do contact Joburg Water and then they come and assist. So right. We are not really being caught unaware.
All right, Dr. Rebohilen Cha, the CEO of the Helen Joseph Hospital. They're not caught unaware, she says, but we do know there are staff members who've contracted gastroenteritis. We do know some have had to bring their own water bottles to the hospital. We do know that sometimes patients, particularly, of course, those who are really, really sick, can't get to those outside toilets. But she says, we're not caught unawares.